Hello and welcome to Millennial 2017, number 3, and this is with Brie Fouché. You might have noticed I mispronounced it in the previous Hangout. I apologise for that. It's Fouché. Right, so hello Brie, and how are you doing?
I'm doing quite well, otherwise from being a little bit sick, so I apologise to your viewers in advance if I cough a little bit, but I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
It's good to talk to you. You and I have never spoken before, so it seemed appropriate. So why don't you tell people about your channel? When did you start it?
Well, I started doing YouTube in general like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but I was just a cliche girl doing makeup tutorials on a different channel. And then I started publishing books, and I took part in the BookTube community here on YouTube, which is just a community that talks about books and particularly young adult. I was writing young adult at the time, and I kind of steered away from that community because it became completely SJW. And that was a bit of a splash because I kind of came out with my politics pretty quickly and that community kind of shunned me. So I just decided, screw it, I'm going to talk about alt-right politics because I kind of accidentally red-pilled myself, and that was what I wanted to talk about.
How did you accidentally red-pill yourself?
Well, I went to see The Force Awakens, the Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, and I was doing book reviews and movie reviews, and I decided to put my very bad opinion of The Force Awakens on the net and pretty much say, you know, as a feminist, this movie is absolutely terrible. Rey couldn't possibly defeat Kylo Ren when she has no muscles. Even I can see that because I'm practical. And people in the comment section just said, okay, you're a feminist? Are you an SJW kind of feminist? And I went, what's an SJW feminist? And I just Googled it and ran into Stephen Molyneux's work and just went through, God, maybe half of his content, which is quite a lot of content. And it just red-pilled me when I saw him work with Vox Day and Jared Taylor and other figures that are kind of known for being alt-light, alt-right. And I kind of did a short stint in the alt-light. And then right around the election, I kind of got familiar with the flaws of the alt-light and decided to go full-blown alt-right and started making videos for the alt-right around January of this year.
Right, I see. So, actually, since you mentioned The Force Awakens, I haven't seen it. Do you want to, I mean, is it as bad? What's wrong with it?
There's just so briefly, much wrong with it.
Yeah, I want to hear about this. I think it'd be funny.
It's just basically a rewrite of the very first Star Wars movie. It's done all over again, just the exact same story with just different characters, exact same scenes, a lot of the same cliches and plot lines. And Rey is just a completely unrealistic Mary Sue type of character. She's perfect at everything she does. She can fly the Millennium Falcon better than Han Solo. She's a brilliant fighter, even though we don't know about her having any real training. She can use the Force like one of the very first times she tries to resist Kylo Ren. And she has this battle with him with a lightsaber where she actually just about to... unrealistic. It was just A New Hope redone with different characters. And it just feels like they had nothing unique to bring to the table. And also, obviously, it was pretty anti-white because the bad guys are always white and the people in the good are always multiculti.
And it's so cliched as well because it's obviously the Federation. It looks like the Nazis. It looks like the Third Reich. Right. And it's incredibly obvious. I mean, it's so, it's just in your face and clumsy.
It's almost,
and I know
like,
that even in the trailer.
Yeah. It's almost like the people in Hollywood know that we are the new force to be reckoned with. And they know that we are, well, their new bad guy to take on. So they portray all the bad guys as white Nazis or something.
Right. Yes. I think you're correct about that. There does seem to be this growing awareness in Hollywood that, well, that white people are in severe danger of waking up. So it has to be, obviously the propaganda has to be ramped up, but I don't think it's working.
I really don't.
I get the feeling that it's almost like whatever happens. I mean, this is the other side. I mean, we've obviously had problems in the alt-right recently. And there is a sort of lull at the moment in the movement. But at the same time, I do believe that we are going to win. I don't know exactly what winning will look like, but I think that there's just a feeling that whatever we do, we just keep growing. You know, I mean, look at 2017 has been...
huge.
It's huge, and it's not been nice. And, you know, one bad thing's happened after another to the alt-right, and yet the movement is bigger than it was this time last year. Everyone's channels that have grown, the podcasts have multiplied. More and more people are calling themselves alt-right. It's remarkable that I think that the status quo, the mainstream, and is so unsatisfactory to people, and the establishment are so obviously corrupt and or useless, that large, ever-increasing numbers of white people cannot help but see that.
I see that too. I think I read somewhere that 10% of the population sympathizes with the alt-right, and once you get to 13%, that's when you really develop a movement. And I've been doing my best to, like, red pill my family and various friends of mine who didn't completely disavow me once I went alt-right and put my opinions out there. And I'll just kind of point out small things that they may see in pop culture just to showcase to them, okay, you see how anti-white that is? Do you make this connection and that small connection here? And I do notice that it gets easier for them. And one thing I'm very adamant about my channel is trying to expose the mainstream media when they lie. And I think a lot more people are red-pilled on how bad the mainstream media is than we give them credit for. I think Trump winning the U.S. election is just proof of that.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, you've got to remember how unlikely they said that was.
Yeah, you know, they said he had there was like a 2% chance of winning or something.
Yeah, that he wasn't even going to win the Republican, what's it called? That he wasn't going to become the candidate.
Yeah, the primaries.
The primaries. And at every step of the way, they said it was just never going to happen. And then it did happen. And they were stunned. And then you've got the issue of the question, do they believe their own propaganda? And I think a lot of them just do because they live in a bubble. So they actually genuinely mean what they believe, what they're saying to the public. And of course, so then when the public disobey them, when the public don't do what they say they're going to do, they're stunned and genuinely baffled. I actually think that the whole fake news thing, I think that concept was invented. I always meant to do a video about this, but I never got around to it. I think that the fake news concept had two purposes. The first was to dissuade the public from believing stuff that they read. But the second was it was a way for the journalists to explain to themselves why the public don't believe them. And they've convinced themselves that the public have fallen for a sort of drug that makes them incontactable by sane discourse, by reasonable discourse that the journalists are feeding them. They're trying to work out why are they rejecting what we're saying? And I think they've just got this idea of fake news as a mind-altering drug that makes the public basically irrational and mad.
I definitely see that as well. I troll a few people on Twitter. I'm not troll so much as just stalk and go look at their Twitter feeds, because I used to be friends with certain authors who I found out later were hardcore leftists. And I'll still go back and check their Twitter feeds. And they just believe everything CNN tells them and pretty much say anything that we consume, whether it be Breitbart or InfoWars or Drudge Report, whatever, all that's fake news. All that's irrelevant. And the only news that we're getting is the right news. And they just believe it. Adamantly. It's quite shocking to me, because even when I was kind of on my red pill journey and I was a liberal for most of my life, I would go to CNN during the primaries and I would see that every single article was trashing Trump. Every single article on CNN was trashing Trump, just making him out to be a monster. Then on the side, they had a huge banner saying, "I'm with her." And even as someone who was kind of left of center at that time, I saw that and I went, I don't want to read this anymore. This is obviously biased. They obviously already have an opinion. And it just shocks me sometimes that other people can't even make that connection when they go to a website and see that.
Absolutely. There is that. But then I suppose people do read these. They have their chosen outlets that they go to because they know what they're going to get there. And so it probably won't surprise them much to see that open partisanship on the part of these outlets. But of course it does. Then you've got the issue of, well, how can you trust them? How can you trust anything they're telling you if they're so obviously in support of the other candidate?
I think it gives them solace in a way as well to see their worldview kind of confirmed every time they go to those mainstream media outlets, whatever their chosen outlet might be. They get confirmed that they're right and they're moral when they go to those particular news outlets. I think a lot of them exist for that purpose, just to...
like a self-help group.
Right, exactly.
So there was something else I was going to go on to about the... You said that... I'm interested in the journey from when you first realized that when you had this realization, and it was actually The Force Awakens that started this.
Yeah, it excuse me, darn throat. It was seeing that movie and seeing how a woman was portrayed as being just as good without any training whatsoever and without any effort whatsoever that really kind of woke me up, because my whole life I had identified as a feminist, voted for Obama twice, I'm sorry. But it was seeing that movie and making that movie review that really woke me up, because people in the comments were just railing against me, going, are you an SJW? Are you an SJW? Because you sound logical. And then I just looked up what an SJW was. And then one day I was watching a George Carlin video because I thought George Carlin was funny. And he was talking about how voting is meaningless. And on the sidebar, they had a Stephen Molyneux video where he was pretty much saying the same thing. And I just thought, this guy sounds really smart. And I started listening to Stephen Molyneux videos just kind of on a spree and consuming other content along those lines. And that's when I really got red-pilled on diversity. And it was something that I had suspicioned for a while, because just with the area that I live in, it's so multicultural. When I went to the mall as a kid, it would be white kids serving me at the little booths and everything and giving out free samples in the food court, always white high schoolers. And then I noticed gradually over the years, even when I was a liberal, that I would go to the mall and it would be middle-aged Indian guys and Muslim guys and Hispanics serving me all the time. Whereas when I was a kid, it was predominantly white neighborhoods. And I would even look at my dad, being a liberal in those days, and be like, it's an invasion. Do you see a white, we're the only two white faces here. Do you notice that? Yeah. I noticed that too. So even though I was new to a lot of these topics, I could make those connections when I was just walking around in real life, and they started making sense to me. And then I noticed in my industry, because I was working in publishing at the time, that there was this constant push for diversity, which I had learned just meant anti-whiteness. And I made a rather passionate video called The Problem with Diversity in Books, calling out some people in the BookTube community I was a part of and various authors for being extremely anti-white and always pushing for diversity. And I said, this is going to pull us apart. Let's just make the book about the story. Because I was still kind of alt-light at that time. And I was going, well, let's not make it about the identity politics. I just want a good story. And I defended an author who didn't deserve defending. Her name was Victoria Schwab, who I found out later was a rabid leftist lesbian Jew who was just completely anti-white. But... yeah, I didn't know. I was alt-light at the time. I didn't know. I'm much more red-pilled now. But I defended her because people attacked her because she didn't have enough diversity in her books. And I knew this was baloney because they attack authors when they do have diversity in their books.
Well, this is the left eating itself, of course.
Right, exactly. Like if an author doesn't have enough diversity, they're racist. If an author has diversity, but they portray people of color in the slightest bad light, and I do mean the slightest, they're racist and their career is ruined.
Yeah.
So I made a video defending her saying, leave Victoria Schwab alone. This is the left eating its own. You people are crazy. Just leave her alone. It should be about the story. And the whole of the publishing industry came after me. And I experienced like a 360 SJW attack over the internet. I just went, okay, that's a bit extreme. And I closed my laptop and just didn't go on the internet for about a week, because my social media exploded in a matter of minutes. Because, you know, one book blogger tweets out, there's a racist video out there. And, you know, it's been seen by 15,000 people in a matter of seconds. So that's when I really got red-pilled, as far as, wow, it really comes down to that. You actually hate white people. That's what this is. And that was when I started going full-blown alt-right and just decided, okay, if that's how it is, I'm kind of special in the sense that I've been red-pilled in this way and have all this newfound knowledge. I know a lot of it isn't unique, but someone out there will have seen my video for the first time and I might be able to share in the discussion about it and red-pill someone new. So I'm going to make some videos.
So when did that happen that you became fully alt-right?
I decided around January of this year, but I made that video back in September. of 2016. So I kind of made, I was kind of alt-right during that period, then went full alt-right in January when I appeared on Red Ice.
Right. I think I remember that, actually. I remember, and then you feed, was there not an article in some fucking awful mainstream newspaper that said you know, the women of the alt-right, and you were one of them?
Yeah, I think it was Harper's Magazine that made that.
That rings a bell, yes.
They did feature me, but the author, and I think her name was Sayward Darby, I think, she was surprisingly kind to me, and I think that's because I declined speaking with her not once, but three times, because I've just been told, don't talk to the mainstream media, don't talk to the mainstream media, and I don't feel gifted enough to talk to them and be able to dance circles around them just yet, maybe one day, but I didn't feel confident enough to be able to do that, so I told her no three times. She still put me in the article. She was surprisingly fair to me, but she trashed, I think, Ayla, Wife of the Purpose, and trashed Lana completely. Sorry, my dog's barking, someone's coming home. But yeah, the Harper's Magazine was the one that really came after Lana.
Yes. Yeah, I remember. I mean, she's been featured in several articles. I mean, since we've arrived at that subject, how do you feel about the recent events?
You mean Thoughtgate? Is that what we're calling it? it's kind of odd to me. And when I first saw it going on and saw Tara tweeting about it and saw Philosophicat tweeting about it, I just thought to myself, oh, well, I guess the MGTOWs are out in force again. Because the only time I've ever received really nasty comments were from MGTOWs calling for me to be raped and stuff for making a video about gender relations and such. So I kind of dumbed it down to that, and then I realized that the issue was a bit bigger and more complicated than that. But I decided not really to get involved in it because, quite frankly, the guys on the alt-right have been overwhelmingly kind to me. When I went to Charlottesville 1.0, they were so kind and so gentlemanly. Every man I met at American Renaissance was so gentlemanly. I'll get the occasional, you know, nasty tweet. There was some guy, I don't know if he was alt-right, probably not. Some guy just this week went through my Instagram feed and found a picture of me with my dogs, just kind of holding my dogs, and put in there, you don't have pictures with your children, so obviously you're barren and you're an old cat lady. And I was like, wow, that's kind of harsh. And a good trolling, sir. Well done. Then I went back to doing the laundry. So, I don't know what really to say about it. I guess I just have a bit of a thick skin just because I already have experienced a 360 SJW attack. There's horrible stuff written about me online. But I didn't feel the need to get involved and have guys come to defend me personally because the guys in the alt-right, to me at least, have been wonderful. And like my analytics say 90% of my audience is male. So I just kind of went, okay, if it's bothering some women, let them discuss it, and we should have a conversation about it. It's a valid conversation to have. But at the same time, the guys on the alt-right have been nice to me, so I don't feel the need to tell them off.
Right. So you wouldn't say that the alt-right hates women?
I don't think so. I think there are a lot of guys out there who just enjoy trolling women. And I've seen it. I get nasty comments on my YouTube channel. I get nasty comments on Twitter. But I've never had alt-right guys who just call for me to be shut down completely. I get emails from guys in the alt-right telling me, hey, thank you for this one video you did. I showed it to my mom and it helped heal our relationship a bit. I received an email from a gentleman just this morning saying that he found one of my videos to be quite healing because he got in an argument with someone over a similar topic recently. So if there is a lot of anti-female stuff going on in the alt-right, I haven't really been on the receiving end of it. So I can't really say the alt-right is anti-female because I just have too much evidence to prove otherwise.
Mm. Yeah. On the issue of comments under your videos, do you ever get leftists on your channel? Because it's incredibly rare for me to... Right, okay, you do. Good, good. So because they just never... I mean, it happens occasionally, but like maybe one or two comments under a busy video will be from a leftist. But generally speaking, they just, I don't know, it's like they want to pretend that we don't exist, for me.
I don't think they have any intellectual curiosity to come watch our content, really. They consider us to be crazy or somewhat inhuman to begin with, or subhuman, and they don't want to engage with us. And those who do, their comments are never any better than racist. I actually had someone put total separate comments of each letter of the word racist just to make sure it would get seen. And like each comment was an R, an A, a C, an I, just to show the whole word. So yeah, I think they troll occasionally, and they'll target a particular video for flagging. I know that's been going on with some people's content where leftists will just come on and flag a video as a means of getting them taken down. But I don't think a lot of them have a whole lot of intellectual curiosity to really engage with our ideas enough to come on and just trash the comment section. The only people who have legitimately trashed my comment sections are MGTOWs.
Oh, God, yeah. I know that the MGTOWs can be very persistent. Whenever I do a video that's about, you know, gender relations, I get a barrage of MGTOW comments. And they're so nihilistic to me. And by the way, I want to say that I know that there is more to MGTOW than the stereotype.
There is. I agree.
I mean, there are, like Stardust, channels like that, that are certainly highbrow, for sure, and interesting. And I mean, that was the case even when he was going on about MGTOW stuff. And he did it in a very different way. Nowadays, he's certainly branched out. But the thing is that I think that most MGTOW channels cater to a type of guy who is just fucking furious with women.
And, yeah, and they have a right to be, right?
Well, there are, of course, there are reasons. I mean, the movement, the MGTOW movement exists for a reason. So, I wouldn't deny that. But it becomes crazed. And there's, you know, the obsessiveness with which they barrage channels shows that they're crazed. And so I always think, well, is this movement really doing you any good if you're still having to rave and rant about how awful women are? It seems to be more like a cult at this stage.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I did a little bit of digging into some of the MGTOW forums, and it did seem to be like a cult mentality where they'll actually tell younger men, excuse me, who are like 18 or so, to stay away from women. They're just going to divorce you and take half your stuff. And kind of targeting young men in that way and telling them, we know how the real world is. You want to know what happened to me? And I realize a lot of men have gotten completely screwed over by the system because it overwhelmingly favors women in divorce court and such. And a lot of them have been stripped of their children and their livelihood, and they completely have my sympathies. But I do see the cult-like mentality that has been birthed from it.
Yes, indeed. It's one of those things where I hope that it has I hope that it resolves in some way, but I think it will have to be resolved by integrating with the mainstream to some extent, because otherwise you're just going to have a bunch of guys who just, well, that's the other possible resolution, is that they simply remove themselves from the gene pool. They don't have kids. Yeah, but that doesn't seem like a solution.
True. I want them to find good women who will treat them right.
Mm, exactly. I do think, however, that it's a legitimate... I mean, there has to be a response to... I suppose you could say it's an attempt to make a direct response to feminism, a sort of mirror of feminism, so as to counteract it. But, of course, it's much smaller than... I mean, feminism is now just the norm in society. I don't think that MGTOW is going to achieve that. But then again, they don't really want to. I mean, men going their own way, it is stepping out of society, not trying to change it.
Yeah, I would agree. I hope that they just find good women, because I realize they are far and few between these days, and they're difficult to find. I actually have guys email me telling me, you're a good traditional woman, how do I find a good woman? And they'll actually ask me, like, where do I find a good traditional woman? And I'm kind of like, I don't know, go to church, go to a right-wing conference. There's a few there that I've seen, but movements like ours are definitely male heavy. So I see where the frustration comes from.
Mm. Yeah. Well, this is what I was saying about the alt, you know, in my video today about the way the alt-right was a few years ago. It was heavily male, and it was very frustrated. And again, this is why I like there being women in the movement. I think they add a sense of levity and it makes it into a more healthy community. It doesn't feel like a prison where all these guys right. are cooped up together and they're just pissed off, you know?
Yeah, and my friend Mark Collett, who I work with a lot, said this to me, and I think it made a lot of sense. He said that you can have the same points reiterated over and over again, but when you have a female who's attractive saying it, more guys are going to listen. The video's going to get more hits. So it just basically spreads the message even farther. So even if guys don't like girls being in the alt-right, I do think it's going to benefit the alt-right because women will deliver the message in a more gentle but passionate way. And hopefully that'll also appeal to other women and give guys hope. Oh, maybe we're not doomed.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, what we want ultimately is for our ideas or our attitude rather, sort of our worldview, let's put it that way. We want that to be default so that you don't need to find an alt-right woman or traditionalist woman, because every woman is either that already, just
right, there's a standard.
Yeah, exactly, the standard. Or she's amenable to that in the way that right now she's amenable to being a career girl. You know, I think it would be great. It'd be tremendous if we could change the culture to that extent. And I think we can. We just need to be smart about it. I think the sledgehammer approach that we're using just now is not going to work.
Yeah, and I never would have come over to the alt-right if it had been a sledgehammer that was being waved at me. To me, it was just genuine intellectual curiosity and just wanting to know more. Once I discovered that one thing was false, that feminism was a sham, I was like, wow, what else are they lying about? So having a woman deliver that message in a more gentle way, or listening to Stefan Molyneux's impassioned videos, were what really did it for me. Yeah.
Indeed. I mean, Stefan Molyneux is, you see, the thing is, he virtually is alt-right at this stage.
He just can't say it because he'll alienate part of his audience, I think.
Yeah. I think a lot of channels, well, not a lot, but I think there are several big channels who are kind of in that position. They just don't want to say it. So they sort of dance around.
They do. I've heard them do that, yeah. They'll disavow civic nationalism altogether and name every single way in which civic nationalism will not work. But when people are like, oh, so ethno-nationalism? No. Not that, no.
So, yeah, but that even, but that,
like, you're so close.
Yeah, but that's a sign of progress, though, because
it is progress. I will give them that.
Yeah, because 5 years ago, those channels would have been singing the praises of civic nationalism. Or even two years ago, they would have been. I think actually that the Trump thing has, this is interesting because the Trump campaign was absolutely civic nationalist. This is why, regardless of what you think he wants or secretly wants or his deep feelings about the white race, doesn't matter. The campaign was absolutely civic nationalist. This is why you can have that, the thing about the base black guy with the MAGA hat.
Right.
And the impression I get, and again, I'm speaking from across the Atlantic, but the impression I get from afar is that the Trump presidency has been a sort of acid test for civic nationalism, and it has already failed. It's already been seen to fail, because I think that the same tensions just remain. You know, he's pushing this idea of America where anyone can make a life and we don't care about skin color and all this. And the SJWs aren't buying it, and the minorities aren't buying it either.
Yeah, I see that a lot. I mean, the minorities just aren't fooled. I've heard it said, I think it was Ann Coulter that said multiple times, she just wishes the Republicans would just admit already, we are the white man's party, because minorities know that. The Democrats in general know that. They know that it's mainly whites who want smaller government, who want the Constitution, guns, etc. They know who their enemy when it comes to all of that. They know it's Trumpism. They know it's populism. And they know that comes from whites, and they know it's a majority white vote that swung the election, which is why the Democratic Party is pretty much just the party of anti-whiteness now. And they know who the enemy is. I see that. I see that all the time. The swing vote is white people. Whoever whites vote for a majority is who wins the election, and the Democrats know that.
Mm. Yeah, for now, whites are the swing.
For now, yeah. That could change in 20 years, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Indeed. You're going a bit robotic, by the way. I don't know if you're on Wi-Fi or whatever. But It does interest me very much, because I think that what we now have is a situation where ethno-nationalism can actually find a platform in America. Even, I think we're approaching the stage where it can become a mainstream thing. It can actually become a mainstream proposition. And I don't know how it will happen, but where I think the stirrings are there. Whereas before it was a fringe idea, and it was an extreme, you know, in inverted commas, an extreme idea. I think it's going to start seeming like common sense pretty soon.
Yeah, I think whites are going to get pushed into it. I heard a few people on your other shows just a few minutes ago pretty much say that there's not going to be an ethnostate. That's not practical. And it might not be. I mean, just where I live, there are just certain neighborhoods where we're like, you don't go into that neighborhood. You don't talk to that people from that neighborhood. And then two blocks away, it'll be a good white neighborhood. So we might not get pushed into like having an ethnostate per se, but it will be a sense of this is a white area, that's a black area, that's a Hispanic area, and the whole country might be that way, which it honestly is a bit more frightening to me. But I think whites are going to get pushed into it.
Yeah. Well, I agree. But the audio quality is really going down. I think there's a problem with your connection. I don't know what we can do about that. Could you say something?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you fine. Okay. It's just, it's all robotic. So I don't know what to do. Should we just continue? I'm not sure.
As long as you can still hear me okay, I could always come back and try to switch microphones.
No, it's not the microphone. I think it's the web connection.
Yeah, I'm not surprised because my web is always going in and out.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap up?
I know, just thank you so much for having me on. I'm really honored to be a part of Millennial this year.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm sure you'll, I'll certainly have you on the channel again in future. It's, I'm sorry you've never been on before. But there are so many, this is the thing, there are so many people now. And so many new channels this year.
You've had the most guests you've ever had this year, right?
Oh, by far. I think last year it was 28 rings a bell. And that seemed ridiculous then. That seemed like totally over the top. Now it's 59.
I was thinking, the time that we're doing this now, it's really late in your lands, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, you're really committed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in order to speak with Americans, you have to become nocturnal, basically.
So right, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm noticing funny. That whenever I have someone from Australia, I have to stay up late and become nocturnal.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I can do it in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. I'll just be in the sleeping routine for the duration of Millennial, and then that it's easily done. So yeah, God knows what next year will be like. I mean, this is why I have to concentrate on just new channels, giving them a shot and big names, rather than have people on that I've had before, because there are so many. There are so many volunteers and channels that deserve to have a showing. So it's going to be...
The more people reiterating our ideas, the better. I love it. There's so many new channels just popping up.
Absolutely. And this is what I was saying earlier. Even though it's been a bad year for us, we're clearly on the rise in some sense. But I think we're going to have to be careful, though, about how we proceed, because I do see possible problems on the horizon. But yeah, basically, I
optics.
Yes, exactly. But basically, I am optimistic.
I am too. I feel like our time is now. I really do feel like that.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you, Bree Fauché.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. I'm sure we'll speak again. All right. The next hangout is in 40 minutes from now. So I'm going to have a wee break and I'll see you then. Thank you, Bree, and thank you to everyone else. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.